Our scripture this evening is from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 42 through 47, and this is scripture that describes the early church after Pentecost and the fellowship of the believers there. And we'll be looking at what it is to be a part of the Christian community and the blessings that we receive as members of the family of God. So, Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42 and reading through 47. This is the word of the Lord. They, that is, the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all members of a community in one way or another. You might say that our families are communities, small communities. You might say that our schools are communities for our kids. Our workplaces are communities for us where we are surrounded by people who are working for the same company. And certainly the church here is a community of believers. But if you were to ask people to define the church, you would probably come up with some other different answers. For instance, a lot of people might say that the church is the building, the structure here. In fact, if you look at the definition of church in the dictionary, it's defined as a building used for public worship. Even the dictionary refers to the building as the church. Some people think of the church as an institution or an organization, the governance, the officials, the board of the church, that's the church. And other people might say, well, church is what we go to every week. It's the service that we attend. It's something that we're a part of every week, the church service. We say we go to church, and we mean we're going to the church service. Well, church is not a building. It's not an organization or a structure. And it's not a service that we go to. Church is a people. We are the church. And in the New Testament, the church was referred to as the community of believers at that time. You never read in the New Testament where we're going to church. No, church was the people. You may have heard this little poem that goes like this. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. And community, if you break it down, you could break it down into two words, common and unity, where common refers to, let's say, a group of people who have something that is the same. At work, you're all working for the same employer. Here in church, we all believe in the same Lord, Jesus Christ. And unity, one of the definitions of unity is that it's a combination of parts to make one whole, like the parts of a car make the car, or the parts of the body make a person. And so the community of believers that we have, the Christian community, is a group of many different individuals with a common theme, and that theme is that we all love and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, here in the book of Acts, we read about the early church, that right after Pentecost, that the church was growing. And we read here in Acts chapter 2 about the characteristics of that church and what was that church like and what they did. And what I'd like to do this evening is look at the experiences of the early church, the attributes of that church, and how they were blessed by being part of that Christian community. I'd like to look at three things that I think that were part of their worship, their church, that was a blessing to them. One is worship. The second is partnership, and the third is fellowship. And interesting that the church, the family of God, has been compared to a number of things, a number of metaphors that have been used, like a flock of sheep, like the body, the human body. But it's also been compared to like a ship, where all the members are working together in that ship to make it work. And I like to think of it that way tonight, because within that ship are these other ships: worship, partnership, and fellowship. So let's look at those three this evening. First of all, worship. You notice that we see references to worship in several places here. It says that, first of all, it talks about devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer in verse 42. In verse 46, it mentions every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Verse 45, backing up to that, they sell their possessions and they give to the poor. And in verse 47, talks about praising God. And so the different elements of worship are found here in the early church. Praising God, or singing like we do in each week. Prayer, listening to God's word, and giving of our gifts. Those elements of worship here are found in the early church. Well, one of the things that we find is that people tend to make a lot of excuses as to why they don't go to worship services. People might say, well, I'm kind of tired, you know, I had a rough day yesterday, so I'm not going to go to church this morning. Or they might say, well, there's a big game on today, and so, you know, I need to stay home for that. Or maybe they might say, hey, one of our kids has a sports soccer game going on this morning, so we're not going to be in church. But, you know, church, the worship service, the coming together as Christians, as a community, is very important. And there's several reasons why worship is important, and not only for ourselves, but also to be a blessing to God. First of all, we are called to worship God. We are we're created to worship. And a second reason is that it demonstrates our love to God. And third is that it helps us to grow in our faith. Worship is something that we were created to do. Right away in the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment, God says, keep the Sabbath day holy, to focus on Him, to worship Him. We're called to worship. And in a number of the feasts and festivals that the Lord established through Moses, involved a day of rest where they would do no work so that they could focus on the Lord and worship Him. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 20 and 25, we read, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Not giving up of meeting together. And in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 28 through 30, David, after the ark is brought back to Jerusalem, he bursts in a song of praise, and he says this: ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. And again, in Psalm 100, David says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We have been created to worship God, and God is pleased when we come together to worship him. And that's the second thing, is that true worship is pleasing to God. The Bible talks about true worship and how that is like a pleasing aroma to him, that is like something that just causes him to smile, so to speak, when we worship. In fact, when Noah and his family came out of the ark, the first thing he did was to sacrifice to God, to worship him. And we read in Genesis 8, verse 21, "The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done.'" So as a result of that worship, God is pleased and God blesses Noah and his family and all of creation. And the third reason why worship is important and is a blessing to us is that it helps us to grow in our faith. It helps to strengthen us for the week ahead. As we sing praises to his name, as we pray to him, as we hear his word proclaimed, we're reminded of the greatness of God and of the goodness of God. And that gives us that strength, that gives us that power to go on. We're reminded of God's love and God's grace when we come together for worship. And we're reminded of the fact that we don't live this life alone, that we don't go it alone, that certainly we have other members of the family of God here that helps us in our journey of faith, but also God promises always to be with us, to never leave us, to never forsake us. And as the writer of Hebrews says, that when we get together, that we encourage each other, that we encourage each other by being together and by praying for each other, by supporting each other. So worship is one of the blessings that we see in the early church, that they gather together for worship. And it's a blessing for us as well when we get together as the community of believers and worship God each week. Well, not only worship was one of the blessings of the Christian community, but we also see that partnership was a blessing as well. We notice here in verse 44, it mentions that all the believers were together. And actually, the word together is found three times here in these several verses. They got together to break bread. They got together to worship. They got together to sing praises to God. And partnership is defined as people joined together for a common cause. Something like worship, but it involves relationships as well. The relationships are close cooperation between people. Now, some people might say, well, when I read this, especially when I read verse 45, and it says, "Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need." Well, does that mean that if I'm a part of the Christian community, that I've got to sell everything that I have and give it all to the poor? Well, that's not what it says here. It says, as people had need, the believers sold their possessions and goods so that they could support the Christian community. You know, back then, they didn't have bank accounts like we have bank accounts where, or checking accounts where, well, if there was a need, they could write out a check. Of course, we don't write out checks for everything that we have in the checking account normally or everything we have in our bank account. Same thing here is that as they saw people in need in the Christian community, they would sell things that had value so that that money could be given to the poor, to be given to people in need in the community. They supported each other in that way. Again, it demonstrated that they were in it, in this life together. And God did not intend for us to live life on our own, by ourselves. In fact, we read in Genesis where God created Eve because he said it's not good for man to be alone. And I think one of the important passages in Scripture where it talks about being together as a community is Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12, where we read, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." There is strength in a community of believers. And a strength in that partnership that we have together in the gospel. In fact, Paul talks about the partnership with fellow believers. He talks about being partners in the gospel with Titus and Philemon. And he talks about the partnership that he has with the churches in Ephesus and Philippi, that they are partners in the gospel, that they are working together. And as partners in the gospel, here as a Christian community, we pray for each other. We love each other. We support each other. When people are sick, we might bring them meals. We write them get well cards. We make calls to them. We make visits to them. That there are all different things that we do to support ourselves because we are partners in the faith. We are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, two blessings that we see as being part of the Christian community, one being worship, and the second being partnership. But the third that I'd like to look at this evening is fellowship. Now, fellowship, you might say, is a lot like partnership, but really fellowship goes to another level, you might say. And here we read in verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the fellowship. And we also read in verse 46 where they broke bread together in their homes. Now, fellowship is often thought of as people getting together. And we also often think, I think, of fellowship as food and fun. We think of fellowship when we get together for coffee after, say, the morning worship service. We think of fellowship as getting together as a church for maybe a barbecue or a potluck supper. We think of fellowship maybe when we go out together with some friends. Those are types of things that we think of when we think of fellowship. But fellowship, according to the Bible, is much more than just getting together and talking together. True fellowship is being committed to each other just as much as we are committed to Jesus Christ. That we love each other just as much as we love Jesus Christ. And it's not just loving each other. You know, we could be part of a country club and we can say, well, yeah, we love the members of the club or that we support the members of the club. But, you know, fellowship in the Christian community goes a lot deeper. And one of the things that we see as part of the fellowship of the Christian community is forgiveness. Forgiveness. When we might wrong somebody, that we can expect them to forgive us because we forgive them. And all because God forgave us. That we shouldn't be holding grudges. We shouldn't be remembering things that were done against us. Because God says that he doesn't remember our sins, that he doesn't treat us the way our sins deserve. And so as a Christian community, we act the same way, that we love each other, we forgive each other. We support each other. We support each other not just in prayer and encouraging words, but as they did here, that they sold their possessions and they gave to those in need. We support each other in that way as well. And as I said in our prayer, we laugh with those who laugh, we weep with those who weep. We support every part of the body. And as the Bible says, that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one part of the body celebrates, we all celebrate. That's part of the fellowship of the Christian community. Fellowship that we don't see in other organizations, in other groups that maybe have a common theme or a common goal, a common objective. But it's only in the Christian community where we see this type of deep fellowship. And in fact, it goes beyond this even to relationship, another ship, you might say. And that is that we have this close relationship with every one of our fellow believers, and also a relationship, most importantly, with God. John talks about this in 1 John 1, verse 3. John says this, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John talks here about fellowship with each other, but most importantly, fellowship with God. And that we can have that relationship with Him, and that relationship that is just so dear and so loving. Randy Fries, who's a Christian, who's a Christian author, describes it this way. He says the development of meaningful relationships where every member carries a significant sense of belonging is central to what it means to be the church. This is a God-ordained gathering of people that is so strong that even the gates of hell will not overcome it. Even the gates of hell will not overcome the strength of the Christian community that we enjoy being part of the family of God. You see, fellowship in the Christian community is much, much richer than people might talk about fellowship in some other organization. It's more than just fellowship. It's more than just getting together for a barbecue or getting together to celebrate someone's birthday. It's not the same. It's a relationship that is so strong, as Jesus says, that not even the gates of hell can overcome the church. So we have worship, we have partnership, and we have fellowship. And those are three attributes of the early church that brought blessings to them. And beyond that, it brought them joy. We see in verse 46 where it says that every day they continued to meet in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And in verse 47, it mentions that they enjoyed the favor of all the people. And at the end of verse 47, it says, God blessed them, added to their number daily those who were being saved. That all these things that were part of the early church were a blessing to them, and that brought joy to them and joy to God. But if we're honest with ourselves, we're not perfect. The church is not a perfect place. And I came across this poem that I think summarizes it pretty well. It says, it's called The Perfect Church. And it goes this way. I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church that has no empty pews, whose preacher never has the blues. A church whose deacons always deke, and none is proud but all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind, and all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still we'll work and pray and plan to make our church the best we can. If you could find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sake, don't join that church. You'd spoil the atmosphere. If you should find the perfect church, then don't you ever dare to tread upon such holy ground. You'd be a misfit there. But since no perfect church exists, made of imperfect men, then let's cease looking for that church and love the one we're in. Of course, it's not a perfect church. That's simple to discern. But you and I and all of us could cause the tide to turn. No, we're not a perfect church, but we still enjoy those blessings of the Christian community, of being a part of the family of God. And living in community is what God intended us to be. You see, the practice of community, of Christian community, embodies a specific personal way of life together in Jesus Christ. It strengthens us to live the life to which we are called. It conveys God's life and power to the world around us and is absolutely necessary if we are to travel this life and stay on the path of righteousness. We need each other to do that. To live in true community is to live life as God intended it to be from the beginning, with all the blessings of the Christian community. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we sang before, we're glad to be part of the family of God. We thank you, Lord, that you created us to live in community, to live together, supporting each other, loving each other, forgiving each other. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for the ways that we fail to be a true Christian community. And that, as that poem said, Lord, that we would give it our best to support each other, to love each other, to forgive each other, to create a Christian community here at Pumpton Plains. Lord, we know that you created us in that way, and Lord, we pray that we might experience those same blessings that the early church experienced as we worship together, as we are partners in the gospel, and as we enjoy fellowship together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.